Good afternoon, Victorians. You're listening to The Strandcast, a student-run podcast in companion with Strand Newspaper at Victoria College, where two sleep-deprived and slightly clueless U of T students discuss fake news and pop culture while exploring student connection, hardships, and renewal. I'm Carol Eugene Park, podcast editor, and it's just me today. This episode is called Halfway There, so I hope you enjoy. I'll start off by stating the obvious. Life, especially adult life, is not particularly easy. I used to joke that you knew you were an adult if you had a plastic bag full of plastic bags and you ate meals at the kitchen counter because you didn't want to sit down after you'd cooked something. I also like to say that university can be a place of true self-discovery, but you're mostly discovering how much laziness you can get away with. However, I've lately been picturing university life in a particular way. The thought has never quite gone away since it first crossed my mind, especially as my courses have gotten more advanced and the workload more demanding. The scene, I imagine, is a vast ocean, and we are all swimming in it. The tides can be kinder at times, but they're never still, just like work. There's ebb and flow, and you cut through the waves as best you can. You can even see some storms brewing in the distance and know there are rougher tides ahead. A test, perhaps, or an essay. The only thing we can do, though, is swim. Sometimes there's an island shore in sight, or maybe a boat. That could be a weekend. Thanksgiving Day. Reading week. But even if we reach these checkpoints, we can't rest for long. We have to leave them behind in search of a place that can sustain us. There's a fine line between swimming and drowning. I still remember when my swimming instructors would have us kids tread water at the end of our lessons. My tired arms and legs would struggle to keep my little head above the water, and I'd feel a deep panic when my mouth dipped below the surface. I feel the same way as we continue pushing against the tides, struggling against each day of each week, especially as the weather gets colder and the nights grow longer. What we all seem to know is that if you start to slip under the water, you have to fight twice as hard to drag yourself back up. It's a terrible predicament. We're all afraid of slipping so far that we can't pull ourselves out. So we keep swimming, even though we feel exhaustion seeping into our bloodstreams and weighing down our bones. Some people are stronger swimmers than others. Some have a plank to hold on to, or they're even given a little boat at birth. And we think to ourselves, lucky bastard. Some people endeavor to build their own little dinghies, but it's almost impossible to build a boat at sea. I can't say I've tried. I tell myself to trust my arms to keep pushing, my legs to keep kicking. It's not always easy to trust in yourself. Even if you're paddling along just fine, your foot might get caught in a net, dragging you back, like a test you thought you'd do well on but didn't, or a depressive episode you just can't shake off. Sometimes you pass by other swimmers and you wave at each other. At those times, I like to pretend that swimming is easy, that it comes naturally. My strokes go stronger and braver, but when the others turn away, I feel the exhaustion just the same. I'd like to think that I'm getting somewhere, though. Just as you must trust in yourself, you also have to trust that there's some shore up ahead. One where you can properly rest. Maybe it'll have some trees and you can finally build your boat. But you'll only get there if you keep pushing. I guess that's what life is. There may not be a tangible reward. There may not be a beautiful place where you will never have to worry about the tides. But there is a feeling of accomplishment in having persevered, in having survived. And after all that struggling, you might even be tempted to say things are going swimmingly.
I just finished my Buddhist psychology class, and I had a moment where I realized what my true New Year's resolutions are. We had a bonus mark question to rate our happiness based on pleasurable life from the past, present, and future, engaged life, on career, love, and leisure, and your meaningful life. I realized that all the things I'm working towards, such as the Dancing with the Stars event I was telling you about, somewhere abroad and so on, are all a means to be happier and to find more purpose in my life. I realize I want to do more of what makes me happy and find lasting self-esteem and happiness and be more mindful of those things.
I know, like, I definitely was busier during that time, I think, because I was in life sciences and there's a lot of heavy course work and exams and projects you have to do. I think, like, something important is just, like, trying new strategies and, like, trying to see what works best for you, because you're still figuring it out at that point, and so you can't really expect yourself to, like, know, like, how to be perfect at time management. You just kind of have to learn as you go, and I don't know, like, I guess if it's last minute now, you can't really plan ahead, so that wouldn't be good advice, but, like, just literally do what you can, get as much done, and try not to, like, put too much weight on it, because you will get really stressed out, and that's just, like, not good for your health, right? So, that would be my advice. You have to just do what you can, like, you get to a certain point where, like, sometimes you just can't finish everything, and you just have to be okay with that, which is really hard to do, but you just have to, right? So otherwise you're going to be, like, so stressed and anxious, and, like, you might experience an anxiety attack, or you might have some kind of, you know, whatever breakdown, and, like, that sucks. You don't want to have to deal with that, so try and, like, protect yourself from it by being positive and optimistic, I guess.
When I think about the start of the semester and the start of my university career, the first thing that comes to my mind is 3 days. 3 relatively difficult days of frosh, leaving me terrified and anxious that I wouldn't adapt, that I would always be a creature of habit, unable to adapt to life after high school. Besides, doesn't everybody talk about how important first impressions are? 3 days set a negative tone for what I thought would be the remainder of my life at U of T. But now, reflecting on first semester, all I can think about is 3 months. I never thought I could meet such great people and be so excited for future endeavors in the short span of 3 months. After all the stress manifesting following frosh, the months to come were ones I figured were going to be riddled with the pressure of being social, keeping good grades, and adjusting to learning how to get to Robarts in the bookstore. But instead, U of T has brought me the things I hoped it would so far. Classes I'm enjoying, people I can relate to, and more free time than the structure of high school ever provided. Other than learning more about Rome than I've ever known and getting used to deconstructing film, first semester has allowed me to acquire knowledge about the city I've lived in my whole life and about myself. Every Starbucks or coffee shop becomes a place to get some work done. Jaywalking is a cultural norm. If you try hard enough, eating in a library is definitely allowed. Sometimes being in Robarts for too long can make you feel like a zombie. And Queen's Park is trickier to navigate than you think, especially when you're zoned out to music. Interestingly, the only downside I've come to notice is that the life of a commuter student can sometimes be isolating, especially in the beginning. Things starting too late or even too early are often a problem for those of us who want to get involved in time-consuming extracurricular activities taking place on campus grounds. But even this issue has an upside: getting to live rent-free and return to home-cooked meals and your own bed, which, on top of all the possible pressures of university, can be exactly what's needed at the end of a long day. So even while at times I wish I didn't have to subway to or from other places, I never regret the journey once I'm home. Oh, and how could I forget one of the most iconic things associated with starting university, freshman 15. Being a commuter sometimes means you forget to eat for 5 hours, but often, even not being in res, I can definitely see how easy it is to eat without thinking down here. First of all, I do so much more walking during the day, I find that I'm almost constantly hungry. Then, it's so easy to go buy cheap, quick foods that aren't necessarily the healthiest.
And, on top of all that, coffee is as accessible as air, so almost a month of the semester consisted of me in a perpetual state of jitters. Needless to say, I've now switched to decaf tea. So, first semester has definitely been an adjustment to structuring the times I eat, which if I'm not careful enough, I might not do at all. But all in all, I consider myself to be a lucky one, actually enjoying the way the semester has gone while also getting lots of sleep, surprisingly. The way the campus has already become ingrained in my mind and the way I've had to grow to oddly love the subway are things that kind of make me really happy. And while I'm not naive to the fact that it's still school and some weeks I have so much on my plate I never want to use my brain again, if first semester has done anything, it's put into perspective just how fast time flies and how much things can change in that time. I let 3 days dictate how I thought 3 months were going to pan out, and thankfully my expectations failed me. I'm excited to see where the next 3 months take me.
Thank you for listening to the Strandcast. This week's episode was written, produced, and edited by Carol Eugene Park. The Strandcast was made possible by collaborating with Vic Pepper.